All right, we're back. Only in New York, only with the Mets. Well, even with the Yankees. Would we kick off the new baseball season talking contract, talking about fans being angry with Stearns for not engaging in Pete this past offseason? I mean, that's where this whole thing starts. And that's why this is a tough job. I mean, think about it. This is other organizations. I mean, yeah, that would be a conversation everywhere, but that's where it starts. It's not the excitement of a new season. It's not looking at positional battles. It's even really not, I mean, even though it was part of the conversation, we'll get to it later, Mendoza's first spring and interacting with the club, it's Pete Alonso's contract and anger about him not signing and fear about him going somewhere else. And, you know, that's part of it. So I really think, you know, to go bite back to what I said, this could come down to Pete versus them maybe signing Soto, just like it was like DeGrom and then pivoting to Verlander. Different, but something same. So let's move on from Pete Alonso, because I don't want to talk about him and his contract all year. And I'm not going to, but I know I'm going to be lying on that because something's going to come up that's going to annoy me. But let's talk about being opportunistic. So early in the Stearns era, he talked about how they're going to be opportunistic and how they're going to go out and see markets and see situations. Maybe the example of how Milwaukee was looking to shed payroll and he was able to take an injured prospect like Coleman Crowe and flip him for a very useful fifth starter in Adrian Hauser and Tyrone Taylor, a fourth outfielder, maybe, you know, a component starter type player. You know, looking at free agent markets and jumping when there's an opportunity at that point, you know, something along those lines. Maybe Harrison Bader is an opportunity, is an example of that. But now, this is not just about late off season. This is now a situation where you have some big names. Now, as of the show, Sunday afternoon, February 18th. So when you listen to this, even just in a few hours, who knows what is going to happen. But you have some big name free agents looking for homes. Blake Snell, Jordan Montgomery, Cody Bellinger, Matt Chapman. Now, it's not unheard of players going to spring training without a contract. Usually Boris clients. You see some Boris clients in there. Kyle Loesch is a name that's come up to me in the past. Steven Drew did it many years ago. But nobody of the caliber of, you know, Snell, a Cy Young Award winner, Montgomery, an emerging, you know, potential top of the rotation guy, a very solid third baseman in Matt Chapman. I mean, Cody Bellinger, maybe that's not a complete surprise. But, you know, the veterans like J.D. Martinez, Adam Duvall, that doesn't surprise me as much. But this has been one of the slowest moving off seasons I've seen ever. Now, we blame Ohtani and Yamamoto, and I understood that. But it's far deeper than that. And I think it's a couple of things. I think, number one, the RSN situation, the uncertainty of the RSNs, that's playing a big part in owners telling GMs, I don't know what kind of cash I'm going to have. It's unknown. Let's take a step back. I think the industry is starting to see that as you get deeper and deeper, and this has been going on for a while, but I think more and more now, you know, the more tools you have, you could go out and get a JD Martinez, or you can look at the projections of what the most recent Met, G-Man, Choi, and Luke Voit can maybe produce in a platoon, or what Vientos' projections are as a young player, and say, this version of J.D. Martinez is expensive. Yes, he's experienced, but, you know, can I do without him and do the same thing with someone else? Now, that's putting players in a back-of-the-baseball-card projection system that doesn't factor in experience, veteran leadership, big spot, you know, a lot of other intangibles, which I think David Stearns and his group does. I don't think that they don't do that. But I think there's a limit to that when we talk about the cost. But what I think now, if I'm David Stearns, looking, and I don't know if any of those big four would take a one-year deal to reestablish themselves back out on the market because they're not getting what they want. And, you know, Boris is not a stupid guy. Boris knows that the league is going to figure out their revenue situation with the RSNs. Now, I'm speculating all this, and I'm doing this as, you know, not this high-end expert. I'm just looking at this logically. You can't tell me that the RSN bubble bursting and the bankruptcy of Bally's and what's gone on there, it's not every team, but cord cutting is going on. Who knows what other owners are looking at with their regional network deals. They're going to be cautious. They don't know what the future is going to bring. There's a lot of change going on in our world. There's also economic stress in our world. These guys are in other businesses. What do you think? That they don't have issues going on in their real world businesses? You know? So honestly, there's a lot at play that makes maybe some of these players that are not shoo-in, and none of those guys I mentioned that are left are shoo-in stars, I'm sorry, that are guaranteed to be great values on their contract, maybe makes their demands a little bit above and beyond the appetite of most teams. So now that spring training, now they need a job. And maybe they'll be like, hey, Scott, give me the best deal on 1 year. I'll go out. I'll show these guys I'm worth it. And then they jump back out into an offseason where, depending on the position they're in, you know, there'll be more competition on the pitching side for guys like Snell and Montgomery, with other big names like Wheeler potentially coming out and so on. Maybe they'll be willing to go on a reasonable 1 year deal, because I don't think it's the money now. I think it's the long term money, and maybe there's an opportunity for Stearns to jump in now in a vacuum, no draft picks, you know, not necessarily worried about tax money on the Cohen tax. I would absolutely support the Mets jumping in on short term 1 or 2 year deals for Matt Chapman or Jordan Montgomery. I think Chapman would solve your third base problem. Yes, it would stunt Beatty's development. I'm not a believer in Beatty. I'll put it out there. And Montgomery would be a guy that I think you could get that's going to start to emerge potentially as a top of the rotation force, who had a big postseason in Texas and has been really good since the Yankees traded him. And he was always good when he was at the Yankees. He was injured a little bit. The Mets used to hit him pretty well. But he was always a guy that I thought was a little underrated with the Yankees. You know, he wasn't a guy that, you know, always got the due, at least from my opinion. So that was what I would do. Now, knowing that there's a qualifying offer attached to Chapman and Blake Snell, that's less appetizing to me. Now, I'm not a Snell fan, but on a one-year deal, I would take Snell if he wanted to reestablish himself and prove that he wasn't just a one-year fluke. I would absolutely do that. I'm sure that 29 sure the team across town would do it. You know, and a bunch of other teams, maybe the Red Sox, Toronto, maybe even Atlanta would do that. So on and so forth. The Phillies, so on and so forth. But as far as draft pick compensation, I think that's really probably one of the bigger holdups with these guys. I'm not as interested because, not that I'm a prospect hugger, but I do see how the Mets have been harmed by their lack of development, and losing more draft pick capital is not something I think is smart, especially when you're building a new organization with new front office under David Stearns. Now, if you looked at me logically, the name here that I think the Mets should really, and I've said since the beginning of the offseason, pursue is Jordan Montgomery. I don't know if there's a longer-term deal to be had in this scenario, but I think Jordan Montgomery would look really nice in that rotation at this point. And, you know, to me, that's the guy I was curious. Now, I don't know if that's going to happen because, you know, right now there doesn't seem to be any buzz around that. But that's the thing. You know, there was no buzz about the Mets and Carlos Correa. And then all of a sudden one morning we wake up and Cohen jumps in. And there you go. But when you look at the Mets rotation, it's solid, you know, from a standpoint of a lot of good. You know, I wrote about this over at Beyond the Mic, a lot of good. They've built teams in the past with these very good rotations, more bullpen-centric, more bat-centric, like the 99 team, like the 06 team. But you put Montgomery in this rotation, and maybe you, and Tim Britton and Will Salmon have talked about it. You know, Senga is a guy that's going to need some extra time. They may want to give Severino extra time. Maybe they want to give Manaea a little bit of extra time. You add Montgomery to this, you make Hauser the sixth starter. It does create some challenges in the bullpen, because who do you drop? You know, there's not as many guys as we talked about in prior shows that have options there other than Fujinami, who has really, I mean, you're going to lose anybody else than there. Now you got a nice six-man rotation. Maybe, you know, Hauser's a swingman like the old Trevor Williams, where he's not always a starter because not everybody wants to get the extra day. And that's really a nice rotation. Maybe they don't have the ace. They don't have a vintage Scherzer. They don't have a vintage Verlander. They don't have vintage DeGrom at the top. But it's solid. They'll keep you in the games. They'll give you good starts. There's a legitimately some top of the rotation guys in Montgomery and Senga. You know, both Montgomery and Senga are in a lot of the similar spot where there's questions about how consistent they could be as that number two. Are they more number three? So that's where I would go. That's where the opportunistic move would be. Now, there's still J.D. Martinez and Adam Duvall out there. The Mets just went with G-Man Choi, and Luke Voit is kind of the insurance, minor league deal insurance. A lot of that has to do with major league jobs. The Mets don't have spots really to open up here for major league jobs. It doesn't sound like they're interested in Martinez. They feel what they have now. They could cobble together between value signings and Vientos that, you know, maybe Marte needs the DH. You know, that remains to be seen. But I think Adam Duvall's interesting as an opportunistic signing. I don't know if he would take a minor league deal and prove himself in the spring, but he can play good defense. He's got pop. He doesn't necessarily have an on-base pedigree, but you're looking for right-handed pop that struggled against left-handed pitching. Perfect guy to have kind of come in. And, look, Harrison Bader's the everyday outfielder, but if a Marte can't play every day, you know, Duvall could come in. I know you have Tyrone Taylor. I understand that. You know, DJ Stewart, on and on. But Duvall has a track record. Stewart doesn't have a track record. Can Taylor do what Duvall does? You know, that could be a debate we have. I'm less interested in the injured guys like Woodruff with the shoulder. I know Liam Hendricks is rehabbing from, you know, elbow. When those guys are closer to being ready, you know, go to their outings and see them there. I'm not interested, and I'm sure, and unless, especially with Woodruff with the shoulder, I'm not interested in paying somebody for rehab when I don't believe that Woodruff is ever going to be the same pitcher again. So, that's kind of an interesting part of the spring. You've seen the Mets make a couple of early moves here of minor league deals with Voit. I don't think Voit's official, but the rumors are there. Choi just came in. Now you got somebody to push a DJ Stewart who has options. And who knows, you really need, I said this in the opening, one slider hits Pete in the hand and he's out 3 months, Mets are screwed. Now, I think they're screwed anyway, whether you have Choi or not, but the Mets are screwed at that point. And, you know, having Choi on the roster, if he can make it over Stewart, would allow Pete to DH a little bit more without that downgrade at first base defensively. I think Choi's pretty decent defensively. But it will be interesting to see if the Mets become opportunistic with these remaining free agents, especially the big four. Because, again, I don't think a lot of this RSN stuff is going to be solved. And the kind of markets that would be able to be opportunistic on these players are the New York teams. Look, they're still talking about the Yankees and Blake Snell. So, and the only reason I would be open to any of those guys, except for, you know, even maybe Bellinger, depending on what it is, the only reason I'm not is because of the qualifying offer on Snell. And I'm not open to long-term deals on really anybody other than Montgomery. And I think Montgomery wants $30-plus million a year. But maybe you give him to 1 or 2 years or maybe 1 year and let him prove himself. Let him go back out and show that he's, you know, he could maybe get a bigger payday. You know, I know his agent's probably looking at who's on the market next year and he knows that the market's a little bit more saturated. I mean, it'd be interesting. Will any of these guys really start to sit out regular season games and wait for a team to get desperate? That will be real interesting. Really interesting. Because in this day and age, with players taking accountability for their own development, for their own routine, for their own workouts, that's an easy thing for them to do. Now, they want to get paid and they want to play, and nothing is like playing and being in your routine. But if it means a lot of money, you do it. Be really interesting to see how this goes. I'm fascinated by where this is. And, who knows? Maybe things start to move this week and, you know, things change economically in the game overnight and who knows. So anyway, that's a thought. Can the Mets be opportunistic? We'll see. I know you guys are going to be the anti-Stearns crowd because they've already become loud. The anti-Stearns crowd are going to say, well, he just wants guys on minor league deals like Choi. Yeah, maybe. I think if there was a guy that made sense at the right price that didn't compromise their ability to be flexible in terms of player development, I think that they'll be open to it. So, and look, if you've given up a draft pick for a player, I'm all for that, for an elite talent. I just don't think Blake Snell and Matt Chapman are those guys. I really don't. So anyway, let's take a quick break. When we come back, let's really get to what we want to talk about, I think, is the 2024 Mets. How do I feel about this team? What do I see? Are there positional battles? We'll talk about that and more, especially what we're going to be looking at during the Grapefruit League. Because if I'm looking at it, you should be. We'll talk about that and more right after this.